The OTL podcast is brought to you in association with STEM Recruitment Solutions. If you need help in recruiting for science, technology, engineering and maths, visit stemrecsolutions.co.uk to find out more. Dum, 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 dum.
We've done it! Brilliant, Joshua. Absolutely brilliant. We'll leave you with the highlights. It's over. The times are done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the OTL podcast. Me, your host, Colin Telford. We are four sleeps from Christmas, for those who like that kind of patter, and Airdrie have just launched an oversized hoodie blanket, although it fits Liam McStravick, so how oversized it is, you can judge for yourself. But joining me for a pre-Christmas special, we have Stuart Dalzell returning. So Stuart, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, just about recovered from my illness. Picked up a nasty flu in Boston and finished work this afternoon for the Christmas holidays. So yeah, excited to get some editing done, two videos to do tomorrow and then football Saturday. So nice to be back as well.
Back after just missing one podcast, a recent recruit, RSM Stats, Ross Mitchell. How are you, Ross?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much. And thanks very much for having us back. Much appreciated.
No problem. Right, sure. Because we've got you, I was keen to just hear a bit about Airdrie Fan TV, because we now what, just over a year in. How's it going? I know that you and your dad have picked up on match day photography as well. So how's the season been for you so far, both in terms of both of those things?
Yeah, pretty amazing to be asked to be part of the club again. Obviously really chuffed for my dad being asked back after a few years not being an official photographer but doing it as a hobby. And obviously really chuffed to be asked myself. So that has taken my Saturday nights away from video editing, from the YouTube. I now have to get the pictures up for Stuart for the post-match posts and stuff like that. But yeah, Airdrie Fan TV is kind of, it's been a while. I feel like it's been a while since I've actually done a video. While I was away, Lewis managed to put a couple of videos together, which was really good, really big help. His first go at editing. And then since then, I really haven't sat down and done anything yet. Between feeling just really ill and unmotivated while I was really bad with the flu, and then work the last couple of weeks just been crazy as well. So, as I said, a couple of videos to do tomorrow. We've got the Thistle episode, last week's Air episode, and unfortunately the Dunfermline episode for whatever reason was recorded without any audio whatsoever. The test clip of us checking out that everything was working in the levels on the microphone, the really expensive microphone, were working, it worked, and then everything after that just doesn't have any audio. And it's not what I thought, that Lewis had shot everything in slow motion again. He hadn't done that, so just a complete glitch. So yeah, but other than that, we've been enjoying it. We've brought in another Aaron, young Aaron Wallace, to the team, so he's helping Lewis out with the videos. Harvey's been doing some bits behind the scenes. We've been working on some shorts that haven't gone live yet. We're still kind of trying to nail them down. And it's just been so busy, I haven't even got round to getting my second episode of Diamonds Are Forever set up. So yeah, I've been busy. I can't believe it's Christmas time already.
You don't just do like one of these lip sync Instagram accounts where a Genie Goody video, you could just make up what they said before the game.
Yeah.
Some funny voices.
Yeah, maybe I could do it in Italian or something like that. Yeah. We'll see.
And to the uninitiated, so you and your dad are at the game taking pictures. What's in the editing that needs to go on when you've got those images when you get home? Are you rendering stuff? Are you photoshopping it, or what goes on?
Yeah, so I've got my dad. My dad had his own process previously, but I'm now using Photoshop Lightroom. And I've managed to get my dad into that as well and kind of train him up on it-ish. So basically, when I import all the photos, it'll already apply a preset so that they all more or less look the same, same kind of colour of green, bright reds, bright whites, etc. And then from there, it's picking the ones that you want. I remember a professional guy telling me he would be lucky if he would get 35 pictures, even from an Old Firm match, to send away and to use. Sometimes I'm sitting up at 80, my dad's sitting up at 80 as well. And really, for a fan like yourself or anyone else, 160 pictures to flick through after a defeat in air is a bit much. So trying to be really selective and picking our best work, picking the shots, cropping them. The biggest thing this season has been levelling the horizon for me. It's a bit of a bugbear. I still have to nudge my dad to get him to do it properly. And sometimes just hitting auto doesn't quite work. So trying to tell him that just because you've hit auto doesn't mean that the ground in front of you is level. But yeah, there's a lot of work goes into that. I guess with my ADHD, I get distracted quite a lot as well. So as much as I can hyper focus on one thing, it definitely takes me longer than it should and longer than my dad. But another big thing is for free kicks and penalties, you've probably seen the kind of stop motion clips that I've put together. That's when my camera is taking 20 pictures per second. So then having to go through 120 pictures for a 6 second clip or whatever it is, and then pick out one or two pictures that you want to keep out of that, and then delete the rest, but actually export the rest and put them into a video file. There's a lot that goes into it, so it takes up most of the Saturday night. And obviously I'm through here in the office with a big screen doing it. My dad's through in the living room with his beer and his peanuts and the laptop on his hand. So that's fun. And then we'll be shouting through at each other, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you uploaded it? Have you sent Stuart the links? And then on top of that, I haven't been doing it recently, but then trying to create social media content from that as well, so putting it together onto Instagram or Twitter. But yeah, so there's a lot more than just 90 minutes on a Saturday taking the pictures. And a couple of weeks ago or a few weeks ago, I was sending the files in-game to Stuart. So there's a couple of goals and celebrations that I would send to him via WhatsApp, just small files that I was able to send from the camera to my phone. And that was good, but I don't know how Barcelona and stuff do that, where it's just almost instantaneous that they have the full file. I think they must have the laptop set up and an assistant doing everything while they're still taking the pictures. But I think I give it a different perspective taking the shots from the stands, which is good. And I obviously do my OnlyFans content as my only Diamonds fans. So I was saying to you guys earlier, I might do a photo book at the end of the season for fans to have a memento of the season so far and see how that goes. And then my dad just does the usual, the money shots from pitch side. So yeah, we seem to be good.
Only fans
team.
And money shots. I'm going to be getting. I'm going to have to get explicit on this episode. So, but there you go, fans. There is a lot of work that goes in the background. So please, take your time to look at the photos, because you guys are very good at getting them up in a few places, and that just gives people an insight. Right, I ended the last podcast talking about how positive I was feeling with the club being further in all the cups and sitting in a higher place in this league than we were in the league below. at this time last year, so I've obviously cursed it, and we've had defeats against Dunfermline, Thistle and Ayr since. So Ross, we've got your before we even start to discuss it, from a stats perspective and from the stuff that you look at, is there anything that you've pulled out in terms of a drop off in form? Are there any metrics that you can give us that, that sit behind that?
So actually, I was looking at this today, right? And well, I started looking at some bits of footage because I was doing together a video thing for Josh, and I went back. I was rewatching all of our games, and our sort of dip in form coincided with obviously Cammy coming out of the team a little bit, Lewis not being the team as much, and Gabby totally fell away as well after maybe the first month and a half of the season. If you go back and look at the sort of, I don't say we were lucky, right? Because we played really good football. But the teams, the games where it was very close, so like Inverness at home, fair enough, we scored after 30 seconds over it was, but we were down to 10 men and they probably should have capitalised on that. You're looking at Partick Thistle where it was 2-1. Great goal by us. But if you go back and look at that one, you're looking at an Inverness game, you had Lewis and Gabby working together to get a goal. You've got the Partick Thistle, you've got Gabby coming on and scoring the equaliser to get us back into sort of contention. So if, like, even the Morton game where Lewis scored and to go 1-0 up, and Gabby's involved in that move. He's involved in the move against Wraith at home as well. So his influence, I know there's been maybe some criticism aimed towards him because he's not been getting the big flashy stats, he's not been hitting goals, he's not been hitting assists and things like that, but it's like the assist before the assist, he's getting his sort of hand in. And I think that's, going back and seeing that was really, really interesting, because it did, when he sort of stopped getting his game time, we, our form did drop off. Same with Lewis coming away. So I think that their contribution, maybe not as flashy as goals, but their contribution's been a bit overlooked, which is why you do things like analysis. Right at the start, so from a stats perspective, right, I'm trying not to bore you too much, but right at the start of our sort of drop in form, things like our press was the lowest in the league, our crosses was lowest in the league. So we were allowing more passes by the opposition before we were trying to press people, basically. What we have done, though, is we have picked that up. In the past two or three games, although it's a weird one, I think I was joking with some guys against the Ayr, we were somehow better and somehow worse at the same time, because we were getting shots away, we hit the post, we had a couple of really good saves, but then there were still some times where we were just honking. Like, it was just, that's not a statistical term, we were just honking. But where we're sitting now, so if you look at the league, for passes, so the amount of passes per game was second. For pass accuracy, we are first for pass accuracy, which is madness. We should have, if you're going by, we talked about this before, the Justice League, we should have 23 points, not 17. We have the fourth highest press now, so we're getting there, we're getting up that press that we used to have sort of back in place, and we're third for, in possession. We also should have scored 6 more goals than we have, which obviously would have made a lot of difference. What is interesting though is we're second bottom now for crosses. We were bottom, but we're still not really putting in crosses. And considering over the past month and a bit, we played Todorov quite a lot, that's quite surprising that we're still not putting crosses into his big napper. So, yeah, I think it's coming. I think there is going to be a tipping point. I'm a little bit more encouraged than I was maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago before I saw this. But if you're looking at this Justice League, we should be fourth.
And when we say should have scored 6 more goals, that's looking at expected goal statistics in terms of the quality of the chances that you're producing and what you would expect a team to capitalise on. Right, okay. And what does Justice League take into account?
So expected goals, so you go from like expected goals and expected points, and expected points gives you what the league table should look like. there's obviously massive anomalies you can bring into that, though. So, for example, we should have, say, like, we should have had three less goals scored against us, which kind of makes sense when you think about it, right? Because you'll get the ball is deflected off Fordyce's knee or leg against Partick. You've got the Josh Ray getting beat for the halfway line at Dundee United. You've got wee things like that that sort of all balance out as they shouldn't be goals in statistical terms, but they were. But yeah, I think in the first half of the season, first quarter of the season, sorry, we sort of overperformed and it's balanced itself out on this quarter of the season. But again, with the absolute geek hat on, it should balance itself back out again. It's just going to come. It just hopefully comes this weekend against Morton. That'd be really nice.
Okay, right. So some hope for optimism there. Stuart, in terms of what you've seen watching the games or through the lens, does that any of that surprise you, or what are you putting our drop-off in forum down to?
Well, to pick up on the Justice League, should, and to quote the great Malcolm Tucker, should doesn't mean yes. Yeah, we should be this, but from this season, it's difficult to believe the same team more or less scored 99 goals last season. We really aren't, as much as you're saying we should have scored six more goals from the chances created, I would argue we're really creating a hell of a lot fewer chances than last season. And when you look at the stats in terms of goals scored, you realise why I don't have many celebration pictures. You know, we haven't scored many goals. The goal difference isn't great. But, yeah, it's just, it's bizarre. I don't know. You know, when I watch Barcelona, and as much as they're going through a dip in form at the moment, you know, some of the goals and the chances that they're creating, you know, the fans are up on their feet. And I don't what has changed with McCabe Ball this season compared to last season. There are definitely changes, but how does it go from, okay, I want to play a really entertaining brand of football, and then so much so we've got Chick Young seems to be as a season ticket holder now, you know, and you've got a lot of shouts from the fans. A lot of fans were disappointed on Saturday. Yeah, it's chalk and cheese, it seems.
Yeah, and that was the thing that struck me sitting watching the Dunfermline game. My mind was going back to the 4-3 defeat. And that game was, both teams I thought just looked far more confident. So we can talk about being up a league, but there's a direct comparison of, we were both in the same league last year with that crazy game. Gabby Mayer was fantastic. I think he got a goal and kind of caused an OG and was like his late back post arrivals. Loads of chances, enough chances to score four goals. And I thought both teams looked pretty poor on the day. And the main thing for me in the last few games is just this how soft the goals we're giving away are. So mm-hmm. The one on Saturday is terrible because it looks like a header from miles out that you wouldn't expect to be a goal. Megua being left one-on-one with the Thistle young striker. And then like the two balls in behind against Dunfermline, they just feel really, really soft. And so if you combine giving away goals softly with struggling to score, it's just not a good recipe. But the games still have been close. So, I mean, do we feel like if we tighten up at the back, it's not as if we're getting gubbed all the time. We can still feel like we don't need too much more to start turning these into draws and victories.
I think that's been the worrying thing, though, right? Again, like, all my stats aside, right? If you look even at, we did have a spell in against Ayr, we were, it was like a 10-minute period where you had the fresh shot, your gal hitting the header and stuff like that. But we still could have played that second half for hours and never scored a goal. You know what I mean? Partick Thistle, for all we huffed and puffed, they didn't ever seem to need to really get, like, you know what I mean, to step up a gear and try and overcome us. I think that's the thing that worries me, is like, I'd like to say maybe it's just because of the nature of the soft goals that teams can just, they know they'll come, they'll maybe get a soft goal, they'll maybe get a mistake out of us, and then they can just put their feet up for the rest of the game. Watch the ball get past the boot. So,
yeah. That's what it seems like when a team score against us. It's like, right, okay, we're ahead. Bring it on. And it's worrying that it seems, you know, you look at the absence of Murray Aiken and the absence of Cammy at the back. It's worrying that two players can, you know, is it the miss we're missing two individual players that much? And yeah, you know, one of the questions I've asked the boys to start asking is, it's January coming up soon, the transfer window, what's on your wish list? And Stuart asked Reese at the end of his interview on Saturday, and he wouldn't tell us, but he does have a wish list, so that's good.
What's on your shirt? If you're talking about asking the question for Airdrie Fan TV, so have you thought about it? What do you want to see for Christmas, January transfer window?
I'd like it shored up at the back and someone to walk into the starting lineup up front and start banging them in. And if that's Callum Gallagher, even better. But yeah, we need to start scoring goals and we need to stop letting them in.
Yeah.
As obvious as that is.
What about midfield? Because you feel like you want your midfielders to be popping up with goals, but it's not happened a lot. Like, Telfer's been playing really well, but not scoring. Frizz has had good games and bad games and not been scoring. McCabe has had a couple of his usual free kicks, but doesn't feel that we carry that much a threat from the middle of the pitch, which just heaps more stress onto the strikers.
I think, similarly, sort of Stuart, like, I would like another centre-half and another striker and either to take the pressure off Gal or another sort of thing maybe is if he doesn't fancy Gabby, he doesn't fancy Josh O'Connor, I'd have somebody, like maybe some a new person outright and have a new winger either side because I know that Lewis kind of plays both, but then maybe have a McStravick move in to the centre park a bit. I think he'd be better centrally than he would be out wide. I think he's far, I guess his first game, he was probably buzzing for it, but the Dundee United game, he was brilliant. He played sort of just in behind the striker in that wee pocket and just had a great day. You know what I mean? And I think that's, it was like Frizz, sort of like last season, he just sort of ran riot. And I think that would be
a good thing. They did say that when they brought him in, that he was a mini Frizz.
Use him as a...
Yeah, you know, you certainly don't, you don't really want to be dropping your captain, but somehow allowing, getting wee Liam into his best, what may be his best position, you know, taking some of that pressure off Frizz and allowing him to come on and make an impact.
You've seen it before though, so you saw it like last two seasons ago, sorry, when you had Frizz sitting deeper, Dylan Easton playing in that role, and McCabe. So you just keep McCabe as your sort of defensive midfielder or Demon Master, whoever it's going to be. Even Charlie Telfer can sit in there because he does take responsibility for the ball, and that's what I've loved about Charlie this year, is that he takes responsibility. If he corners for shies, he comes looking for it, and we really missed that against Dunfermline. That was one of the big things that really stood out, was the fact that there was nobody there to come for shies. Nobody was taking charge of it. Hancock does his best, I think, but then he's playing so far back, you know what I mean, because he wants to drive on. You can see that he wants to sort of take responsibility in games, which is really good to see. But another centre half, and if you're going to if you're not fancying Gabby and you're not fancying Josh O'Connor as much, get another winger in and put McStravick and have some combination of McStravick, Telfer, McMaster, McCabe, sort of like that. Look, it was against Wraith. I mean, have that sort of, I know it was Todorov that was up front in that game, the away game, maybe. But have that sort of compacted. If you're going to do this three at the back, sometimes a five at the back type thing, you're going to compact the midfield. Like, I just feel like McStravick's a wee bit wasted out in the left or right, wherever he gets shoved.
Yeah, even the three at the back would even allow, or may even allow, Rhys to come back and do a job in front of the two, which then gets round the old adage that McMaster and Rhys can't play together, that some fans seem to think. I don't know what the stats are, Ross, but
now they play fine. There's a brilliant clip of them together at Wraith. I don't know if you saw that. It was like a brilliant me intricate passing together, didn't we?
Obviously, I think one of the big things seems to be when after we've passed it about the back for a while, we revert to sometimes the long balls that aren't sticking. So if Rhys is actually the one that's pinging the balls, then we've got more chance of them sticking. Playing that better quality a long ball and quicker. So that might be the answer of whether it's ATS, Rhys and Dicey, or ATS, Rhys or Janny, Rhys, Dicey, whoever it is, those three, and Rhys being that kind of floater in between defence and midfield, might work. Like but then what do we know?
He's like, listening, but Rhys is like a sort of footballing equivalent to a quarterback. You know what I mean? You want him sort of sitting back and then picking at the passes, picking at the calling the plays. You know what I mean?
It's been interesting that at times last season we were wishing he was on the sidelines to dictate the game and make changes and stuff. And now that he's on the sidelines more, a lot of us are saying, "Oh, he needs to be back playing the game."
I think the difference though is because it's obviously, like everybody knows, this league's tougher. This is a league where you need your experience, you need game smarts. You know what I mean? I think that's something that we sometimes lack. I think as well, when Rhys is in the team and taking the responsibility of those pinging out those passes, it takes the pressure off Josh a bit at the back. Because I think his distribution is good. Again, like stats back that up, but his distribution is actually really good. But if you take the pressure off him to have Rhys at the back, it just gives more weapons. You know what I mean? It's just more arrows in your quiver.
Yeah, I think you can see the accurate balls to a fit Lewis McGregor or a flick on off Tildorov for a McGregor or O'Connor could be really effective. We don't want to play long ball football, but if you're able to mix it up, having Rhys's accuracy from the back could be a weapon in terms of just giving you options for kind of team open, especially if they're going to high press us when we are passing the ball about. You can suddenly just change it up a lot more. Right, well, we mentioned some roles that you might want to see. Any names that you think might be possibilities? January is a notoriously hard time to do business, and who's going to give you a striker that's banging in goals? So you maybe need to find somebody that's out of favour. I was thinking the other Cammy Ballantyne doesn't seem to be getting too much game time at St Johnstone and always looked good at Montrose. Kyle Turner doesn't seem to be getting much game time at Ross County. Would you really want to drop a league again? Well, I don't know. He could be the main man in our team, albeit I've just named two midfielders, which is probably where we're strongest. Anybody for you guys?
Not by name. No, I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't know enough about Scottish football to name anyone. And if Rhys has his wish list already, then he knows the names. So, but yeah, definitely. Murray Aitken back in the team end of January, February, as soon as possible. And
Cammy as well.
Cammy back, yeah. Hopefully that doesn't require the surgery that we spoke about. Ross, you might know names from Football Manager or anything like that. I was never into that.
Well, no, I actually picked up Football Manager this week for the first time in 2 years.
Oh, there you go.
I think it's this whole thing of being realistic about who we can bring in and who we can't bring in. Because I think the big thing that every fans always forget is the players look to want to come to us as well. It's not just as simple as you name a name and you go and get them. It's so frustrating when you see people say that kind of stuff. We should go and sign X, Y, and Z. How come we didn't sign X, Y, and Z? And like, because they didn't know how to come to us, we didn't offer them enough money. It's just simple stuff. But I think maybe like sort of realistic people to get on loan, maybe Lewis Jameson a game, would he add much? He had moments of brilliance when he was playing with us, but then that was the league below us. He has scored for St. Mirren. I know he's had a few sort of cameos off the bench. So,
yeah, does he walk into our team and start scoring goals?
Probably not. So I'm hoping there's some magic up the sleeve there. There's a couple of youngsters that like Rangers. You maybe think with McCabe's connection to Rangers, there would be like them in, but we never seem to get them Rangers players on loan. Who's at Hibs these days? Why are we even debating this? Whoever's up front for the Hibs youth team right now, they're coming in.
Yeah.
I think that there's a maximum of loanees that you can get, which I don't think we've hit, but I think we maybe are maxed out on Hibs players. Is it a danger?
The danger would be if the new Hibs manager recalls some players. That would be a bit of a dodgy one.
Yeah,
because
Meg was
done really well for us.
Yeah, a lot of Hibs fans were wanting him to stay and keep and almost play for them. You know, potentially Murray's injuries come good in that they haven't seen him really, really progress and then be recalled in January. Because that was a possibility the way he was going. As much as you don't want, you still wish he wasn't injured. But yeah, I still trust Reece, and Reece we trust, and and we'll see. But I think if we can all see that we need to stop conceding and start scoring, then Reece can see that as well.
Definitely. Yeah, like you said, David, what do we care?
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. I think just what the challenge is going to be getting good players in January. It's always hard to do. I feel like we probably need the experience would be better, but then it's almost the Ian McCall trick of finding the guys who are out of favour but are still good players, and they just need to come to us to get a bit reinvigorated and could offer something. You know, Wotherspoon's not in that mold, but you see the impact that he had on joining like Thistle, that kind of bit of quality that might just, you said, Ross, all these games have been very tight. So first quarter of the season, we were beating Morton and Raith Rovers in these tight games by pipping them by the odd goal. The last few weeks, we've been losing tight games by the odd goal and just been able to turn that back around. And Stuart, where you were going to in terms of, and Reece, we still trust that. That was my next chain of thought of, are you panicking? So we've slid from still in the playoffs, seemed to stay in playoff position for ages despite not winning because everybody was cutting each other's throats below us. But we're now sitting, what, seventh? And Arbroath picked up a win last weekend. Morton found a bit of form. All these teams that you hoped might be rubbish all year aren't. So are you panicking about after 10 years to get out of the league below, we could find ourselves back in it very quickly if we don't find a bit of form? Ross, I'll go to you first.
I think, like I was saying sort of earlier on, I was panicking, and then I had a look at sort of, again, it is an indication of where we should be, right? And it's obviously, it's not as simple as that. But it should balance itself back out again, right? You have a good first quarter, a bad second quarter, and then it should just sort itself out. And I think the next two games, and I know people that I've heard folks that have played down a wee bit, but I think the next three games are absolutely massive. And I think that you're losing away to Dundee United, get beat at Dundee at home, even the Wraith games, then they didn't make your season. What makes your season is beating the teams round about you. And right now, these are the teams that are round about us. It's your Morton, Queen's Park, Ayr, and Inverness. And they're the ones in Arbroath, obviously. And Ayr fell at that hurdle. So we need to pick up points against Morton, Queen's Park. And I think they play into your game. I think Morton, we like to press teams. We do quite well against teams that don't just sit in against us. But it's whether or not they'll change their game when they're playing us. Because I think so many times this season, teams have like it was just no bother to press us. And they've just let us, like we were saying earlier on, we've just like when you go past the ball, what do you want? We'll just sit back and let you run the clock down. But I'm not panicking yet. If we didn't get at least 6 or 7 points with these next three games, then to hell with your statistics, and we'll start panicking a wee bit.
Stuart, is trust in Reece the same as confidence in the team?
Yeah, likewise. You know, Christmas time last year, we were in a bit of a slump as well, and kind of worried. And then we went on the run of form that we did, and came good right at the right time. Morton have won three games in a week, and went from bottom to playoff points or fifth. There's a long season ahead still. But we need to start creating more chances and putting more of those chances away.
Yeah. I mean, I would take 8th place right now if you could guarantee it. But equally, I think this is the league's so tight, it's probably as good a chance as you're ever going to have to do better than that. If you do better than that, it's a bit more prize money and you can maybe build for the next year. So I'm still hopeful. But that form at the moment is worrying. We need to stop just gifting goals and giving teams a start against us, because I do think we've been good at points in all of those three games, but not good enough to get anything from them. And in terms of target for the season, I mean, we haven't spoken to you two about that before, but I'm saying 8th place would do me. What do you guys reckon? Stuart, if you get any position in mind, it would be success.
I'm still happy with 8th. I know Reece wants to win the league still, probably.
God love him.
But I mean, at the time, like, fair enough. You know, there wasn't anything stopping us, which we had showed against Dunfermline, who were a good side that we could go up against them. Not quite do the job. We could go up against Dundee United, not quite do the job, but not quite doing the job means that we are currently 8th. And if we finish 8th, then great. We're in the Championship. We're not back down. And although going back down might mean that we avoid Falkirk, as they seem to be favourites to win, finally. But I guess the first quarter of the season, I would have been hoping to push for playoff spots. Since then, you know, it's been a bit of a reality check, and everyone's gone, oh yeah, well, 8th was the target at the start of the season, so we'll go back to 8th as the target. If things change, then we could be talking in another quarter's time and saying, no, we want the playoff spots.
Yeah, the way this league, you could be seeing that in a fortnight, it's just crazy league.
Yeah.
Ross, how about you? The League of Justice has us 4th, so is that where that's the way your eyes are focused?
No, like I think we're back at the start of the season, we'd all said 8th, right? Everybody was like, we just stay in the league, end the hoodoo, and then build up next season, like you say, more money, more crowds. Even if Falkirk come back up, I'm not like, who cares? Falkirk or Falkirk? There was Falkirk against us anyway, so I'm not worried about
that. We're going to be labelled obsessed again now.
You weren't even in the same league as them, just for the point. The guaranteed away wins and a bit of a laugh.
Callum Gallagher's 5 goals a season, I guess. Yeah. I think.
Bookmark.
Definitely take 8. Bookmark. Definitely take 8. However, because of what we can do and what we are capable of, I would be disappointed with 8, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I think we just, again, I think there is, I'm hoping anyway, I'm hoping my stats haven't totally not let me down, and But do we going to get absolutely humped the rest of the season? But there should be a tipping point coming again where things start to pick up again, and then we can even, it'd even be quite nice to be, to get to May and we've nothing to play for. Just we're you know, we're secure, safe.
Yeah,
we're safe. I've got a holiday in May, I can't go to the playoffs anyway, so.
And what about, just to round off then, so what about cup final? So again, in the last episode, I'm going, St. Johnstone, they're on terrible form, nothing to worry about there. We lose three games. Levine seems to be having a positive impact there. Wraith Rovers, well, we've beaten them once, we've drawn with them once, don't seem to be that good. I've then since watched the game that they had against Thistle, which was about as good a watch as I watch on TV as I've had in a football game for a long time, and Easton doing Easton things last week to score against Dundee United. My imagine would be, I think Andrew Sneddon said, 8th place in a cup run, whether that's like a Challenge Cup final or one more round in the Scottish Cup, I think would be a good outcome for the season. Have you got confidence that we might sneak past them in one of those two ties?
One of the two, yes, I'll take. I'll certainly take the Challenge Cup. You know, I've always got some of my best memories are from the Challenge Cup finals back in the day. There's no reason that we can't go up and give St Johnstone a game either. Where are they on the table compared to Ross County? Are they that much better than Ross County or worse than Ross County? Are we that much better than when we played Ross County or worse? But it's a game of football. Anything can happen. We should know that by now. And we just have to go in, and we will go in with... we can beat anyone on our day, as Reese believes. So,
well, but you're off. You're missing the playoffs if we get to any playoffs. You get a red and white rosette looked out for one of these cup competitions.
See the St Johnstone game. See if we go back to how we played against Dundee and how we played against Ross County, right? Where you go like, is it sort of like a 4-1-4-1, and when you've no got the ball and you stay. It was brilliant to watch, right? There was a bit where I think the Dundee game, and they're kicking the ball about, and we just stayed in this contained sort of formation that just totally nullified it. And that's kind of like what's almost been missing for some of your games, is that sort of just
discipline.
Picking a discipline, discipline, picking a discipline, picking a structure and sticking to it. So I think if we go to like up to St Johnstone, I can't remember if we were home away, but we play St Johnstone, we keep our discipline, they're not a team that's going to come at you. You know what I mean? I was talking to one of the St Johnstone guys that does analysis stuff. He said they're not scoring goals now. You know what I mean? So they're worried about us the same way that we'd be worried about them. And I think we just go get back to that discipline structure, and I think we'll give them a game of it. Hopefully progress back it. And the Wraith one again, like, you've got players in that team that played for money, so they know what he's like, they know what he's wanting, they know what he's asking his players to do. And I think that's been one of the reasons why we've done so well against Wraith, is because the likes of Frizzle, because the likes of Watson, they've all been there. You know what I mean? Reese, they've all been in and around Ian Murray's team. They know what's expected of their players. And I think that's one of the reasons why they've struggled against us. It's not been a fluke. You know what I mean? Reese is obviously, he's worked under Murray. He knows what he's doing in that respect. So I'd love for us to get a final. I'd love for us to get Falkirk in the final. And I'd love for us to scrape it 1-0.
Ian Murray just last weekend managed to be snidey digging it. Oh, every day Airdrie was getting very excited when they beat us earlier in the season. I'm all getting excited because Wraith Rovers have been pinching managers and our best players and we still beat them. So will you not be getting invited on the pitch to present any prizes at half-time this year?
Was there any lead into that, or that was just came out of nowhere that you wanted to have a go at?
I don't know. Maybe the music was up too loud in the dressing room after the game or something. But he's obviously been a wee bit riled by it, so maybe we could use that to our advantage in the semi final. But it did seem very petty to me, and shows you why you don't get your ex manager on the pitch at half time to do anything if should the occasion arise again, because the club have treated him really well anytime he's been back, but I felt it was a bit needless.
A strange one,
yeah. Cool. Okay, Right, guys, we'll end it there. Let's fingers crossed. Next time we go on, it's a happier discussion, as you see, Stuart. The mood's changed a bit. But for all the listeners and for yourselves, have a great Christmas. There's always good to get to games at festive season and see faces that you've not seen for a while. So let's all enjoy that and hope there's some Airdrie victories to go along with it.
Yes, please. Merry Christmas. Have a good one.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
No more sorrow.